Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Hero MotoCorp Limited Q2 FY20 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Priya Ranjan. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Aman. It's our pleasure to host Hero 2Q result conference call. Now I will hand it over to Umang to introduce the management team and move ahead with the conference.
Thank you. We have with us today Niranjan Gupta, CFO, and Sanjay Bhan, Head of Sales and After Sales. We will begin with an introduction, the first comments from the CFO, and then we'll open it up for your questions.
Thanks, everyone, for joining our call. You would have seen our results. You can see that the quarter two results, in general, were impacted by overall slowdown in the economy and, of course, auto sector in particular. Having said that, there are some significant positives. One, overall, on motorcycle domestic, we gained market share in quarter two as well as on YTD basis. Secondly, the premium launches that we have done are picking up, and that is reflected also in the market share, though it's a long way to go, but we are on track. And third, the EBITDA margins have been maintained sequentially despite the adverse top line. Moving forward, the festive seems to be showing good build-up versus a double-digit retail decline in the industry and our own portfolio in the 6 months preceding the festive. We are seeing a positive growth in festive, which is a good sign, albeit the growth is in low single digits so far. But it's still a very positive sign, given that the negative momentum which was there seems to have been neutralized and arrested. There are a couple of tailwinds moving forward in the short term. A lot of rains that India has received, while in few parts it may be a short-term damage to some of the crops, but in the medium term, it increases the water reservoirs and water table, which means that the crops moving forward have sufficient water, and therefore there should be positive reflection moving forward from Rabi crop onwards. The second tailwind is, of course, the expected Q4 pre-buying, because as you would have seen, some models have already come into the market on BS6, which have a price increase of around 12% to 15%, and obviously that quantum of price changes should trigger some pre-buying in quarter four. Having said this, recovery, a sustained recovery in the short term may still take some time, but we do remain optimistic about the long-term future for the auto sector, given the under-penetration and a lot of opportunity that exists in India. This belief is also reflected in our continuing investment behind new launches as well as the Andhra project, which we continue to move forward with. And finally, our BS6 is on track, and you would soon see our launches coming up post-festive. So with that, concluding being that the short term, some tailwind, recovery may take a bit of time, but long term, we are optimistic. Let me hand over this for the call and the questions for us to answer.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kumar Rakesh from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is around gross margin, which you reported during the quarter. So sequentially, almost 200 basis point gross margin expansion we have seen, despite a sharp decline in the volume, wholesale volume, which you have reported. This partly could be led by the production, the factory inventory buildup, which we have seen during the quarter. Going into the December quarter, and that being the model year change quarter as well, you most likely would be winding down some of these inventories. And also at the dealer level, the inventory which you would be running, that also could be coming down. So are we looking at the December quarter where the production could be sharply lower and hence these level of cross margin may not be sustainable going forward?
Thank you for the question, but we don't guide on quarterly margins. What we do is that we keep applying various levers of margin, which include, of course, cost optimization, sourcing, our Lee program, optimization on other expenses, portfolio, etc. So it's a combination of various things and the tactics and the strategy that we adopt from quarter to quarter. And that's how we expect it moving forward as well.
Thank you. Rest of the two-wheeler OEMs who have reported and discussed their quarter on the call have indicated that festival demand they are looking at is likely to be flattish, while you are suggesting that you are experiencing a low single-digit growth during the festival season. So what different you are doing? Are you gaining retail market share or you are doing something different in the marketplace?
Let me hand this over to Mr. Sanjay Bhan to respond.
Yeah, so Kumar, I think the reason Niranjan mentioned about the kind of improvement in the sentiment overall, I think the key there is that this is clearly evident in terms of the footfalls. We've talked about, you know, earlier in the previous earnings call, we did talk about the lack of inquiries and not just the fact that there were lesser number of people walking in, but also the fact that even those who were walking in, the conversion levels were abysmally low. So things seem to have come back, like Niranjan mentioned, in a very robust manner, therefore leading to a certain growth, which is, like he said, right now is not very high, but it's in lower single digits. But yeah, growth nevertheless. And given the momentum that we are seeing, even after Dussehra, there hasn't been any let up. It's been, in fact, building on. So in contrary to if I was to break the period, the first 10 days were more or less flattish, but the subsequent 10, 12 days have been actually at a pretty decent growth rate. So overall, there is a belief that we will see some recovery going forward, and hopefully we will report a positive growth in this period.
Great. Just to be clear, this low single-digit growth you are referring to is on the retail sales and not the footfall or booking.
Yeah, this is not retail sales. Absolutely right.
Great. I fall back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mitul Shah from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for taking my question. Congratulations on a very strong performance. Sir, you explained about this near-term phenomena of improvement in sales, but from medium-term point of view, next 1.5 year point of view, which are the indicators you generally look for the industry forecasting? That is my first question. And second question is, in past, sir, any strong correlation with better monsoon have you observed? Because at this time, rainfall is around 10% excess, which had some negative impact in few geographies due to crop destruction. But if it is positive for Rabi crop as well as next year point of view, because even if there would be a monsoon deficit to that, you know, 5 to 10% next year, this water reservoir will be provide cover of those deficit. So, which also happened in FY15 and 18. So what is your take on this, sir, being a rural player, your judgment on next 1.5 year point of view?
I think that's a very, very good question to ask under the circumstances, Mitul. Thank you very much. Yes, there are lots of green shoots. This monsoon has been a mixed bag. In fact, it started off a little inconsistent, then it started peaking, then it started pouring, I guess, and that's how it finally ended up. September this year saw virtually, after about 100 years, we had a September as wet September as this one. So there are positives clearly attached to it. There is also this a bit of a blemish in terms of crop destruction in certain markets, particularly cash crops, particularly in states of plague like Madhya Pradesh, where obviously soybean has been hit badly. But there are obviously some very critical indicators that we watch out for. And just to kind of share that with you, one of the key indicators will be visible as early as mid or third week of November, which is when the Rabi sowing starts. The current trend, as it seems, is while as the Kharif sowing has been a little lower, yet at a yield level, given the kind of crop prices, the MSPs, etc., that have been announced, there is a likelihood that at a farmer level, there will be about 10 to 12% better yield, despite a slightly lower production, which therefore will encourage farmers to go out and sow for Rabi, which is a phenomenon that finally will see a reversal, because last year, you know that we had a fantastic, bountiful Kharif crop, did not translate into monies coming back to farmers in time, resulting into a poor sowing in Kharif, in Rabi, which was almost about 25% down, which resulted in a poor Rabi yield in the month of April, May, and then eventually leading to further, the cyclical bit of another round of lower sowing for Kharif, which has resulted, as I was saying, while it may have resulted in lesser production, but it will probably end up giving better yield. So the cycle will eventually break. So our sense, therefore, is that the first indications of a rural recovery, so to speak, would be visible by the third week of November when the Rabi crop sowing is in full swing. And I think that will give us the right indication. But as it seems, there is enough and more available in historic data that you can kind of go back to and look at. Whenever there is a bountiful monsoon, it may not have an immediate impact from a Kharif yield point of view, as in the months of October, November, but it eventually has a very solid pushback or solid recovery in terms of the quarter four phenomena. So we do expect that this kind of rains will yield to a lot of positive sentiment. And, this, fortunately and thankfully, a lot of this over rainfall, if I was to use that term, has happened in markets which have been dry for long periods of time. I mean, think of Maharashtra, areas of Maharashtra that we've been hearing about farmer episodes of various kind of suicides, etc. In most areas, now we have bountiful rainfall, the reservoirs are full, and hopefully times are going to change in those markets. So we do expect a lot of positive sentiment coming into the rural area post-November.
Sir, in terms of outlook between motorcycle and scooters, do you expect now it would grow similar trend, or again scooter will continue to reduce the overall pie?
Scooters, we have seen more or less are not able to push beyond that 31-32% contribution, and scooters is not as much a rural phenomenon as it is an urban phenomenon. So unless the urban markets start expanding differently coverage for scooters improves there, it is unlikely that scooters will see a recovery in terms of contributions changing significantly. But what is going to happen is the first-time buyers in rural markets, which is where the penetrations are much lower than in urban markets, penetrations in urban markets being as high as they are, it's unlikely that scooters will see a major turnaround in terms of their contribution numbers going up. But it is quite evident that if rural markets start kicking, as we just explained, if things improve and the sentiment in rural markets improves, which we will know by end of November, then it's very likely that it will have a very positive bearing on motorcycle demand.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for detailed explanation.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranjit Jaiswal from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on product pipeline. So what is your strategy, especially related to EVs, which you plan to launch in-house?
So Ranjit, as far as EV is concerned, we have said this before. I think given that EV is an evolving space, we don't think that a single direction strategy is actually a right strategy. While some of the players have boasted about their singular direction strategy, but I think in any evolving space, if you look at the history, it's important to have a multi-pronged strategy, and then some would fire and some may not. So as far as we are concerned, we are having a strategy where we invested in Ather. We are the largest shareholder in Ather. It's not a small stake. And Ather has launched in Bangalore, and now they've expanded to Chennai. There are a lot of learnings coming out of that, which are getting incorporated in our own program. Second thing is within HMCL, we already started building EV. We now have dedicated emerging mobility business unit, which has accelerated this. Third, we have opened up the tech center Germany, where they are focusing on premium and EV only. So there is enough focus on this, and we are navigating this space carefully, but surely and certainly.
Okay, thank you, sir. And one more thing, on the price hike related to BS6, you mentioned 10 to 15% price hike. So can you quantify something related to the segment-wise price hike, which could happen?
No, Ranjit, we won't be able to right now, but sufficient to say that I think there are enough indications in the market that players seem to be passing on the full regulation cost in the initial stage on the pricing, and you would have already seen the models that have launched. And you know our hero policy, which is we are always rational and sensible about pricing. Beyond that, I think you would see that in the first launch that we do very soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Amte from CGS-CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Two questions. The first one is with regard to your employee expenses, which used to hover below 5%, but in the current context of double-digit decline in volume, and you still growing your employee expenses by nearly 10% in first half. How do you look at why it is rising even in this environment? One. Second, how do you look at the with the VRS happening? What's the payback, and can it come back below the 5% range?
See, honestly, we have not been growing our employee expenses disproportionately. If you look at the overall increments and in general 2 to 3% headcount, which is required to ramp up some of the things like our R&D center, et cetera, then on an absolute basis, if you look at, then the growth on H1 over H1 on employee expenses is around 10-10.5%. Of that, 8 to 9% would be increments itself and the balance is headcount. So I think honestly, it's not about that. And the second thing is, we don't want to get into a self-fulfilling prophecy of curtailing down our resources and thereby actually starving growth. As we talked about in the beginning itself, what we see is signs of positive things which are coming back. Overall recovery may still take a little bit of time, but we remain optimistic about the long term, given the entire opportunity that a country like India affords in the auto sector. So there's no reason for us to actually start shrinking our base. Probably it's the time to build further capabilities. So I think on an absolute basis, it's not off. Yes, as a ratio, if in the quarters, few quarters where you would have probably lower volumes, as a ratio it will look increasing. But fundamentally, it's not something that we worry about. We would rather use the capability to boost the top line than actually cut the capability and reduce the top line further. So I think that's our strategy. And as far as VRS is concerned, you've seen the exceptional item which we have put in. We don't look at, honestly, the payback, etc. on the VRS. This is more about over a period of time you need to churn a bit of employee base, and which is what we have done. It was voluntary. So it is not done with the purpose of any payback. So wouldn't like to quantify on that aspect.
Sure. Second is with regard to scooter market. We have seen a substantial deterioration in your ranking and market share in the scooter space. Is it by design or you are forced to take this up? And how do you plan to bounce back?
So, Pramod, I think the fact is that if you look at the scooter industry overall has not been doing too well, as you would have figured out. The industry has been declining at a far much more rapid rate than the overall industry decline. It's about 17% decline in scooters. And within that, we've been maintaining that, the segment within scooters, which has had a disproportionate, and a significant growth, and relatively speaking within the segment, 125cc scooters have done far better. In fact, even in the current environment, they are the only ones growing, while as the 100-110, which is the mainstay, 76% of the market is from the 100-110cc scooters. That has been degrowing almost 23%. Now, obviously, 125cc is a new segment for us because we've not been there. We've just been there about 11 months now with Destiny as the solitary option that we had. We have now strengthened that segment with Maestro Edge 125 and the FI variant. So now the portfolio is a little more complete. Clearly, that's a segment that we believe is going to lead the charge in growth for scooters. And there's going to be an internal evolution of the category into 125. No small wonder then that, you know, when you saw the scooter in the BS6 being launched by one of our competitors, the first model they've launched in BS6 is the 125cc. So it just goes to show the importance of that category. We had called it out last year when we launched Destiny. We talked about it. We have been able to maintain a 15% market share around in that category 125. Clearly, our aspiration is much higher. At an overall scooter level, the amount of seriousness we have for the category is absolutely pretty much there. And the fact that we have in the first 6 months launched 3 new models of scooters, basically, you know, strengthening the 125cc portfolio by launching two variants of Maestro 125, the FI and the Carb variant, and then also trying to bring in a refresh, a new product, the Pleasure 110 in the 100-110cc scooter category. Our portfolio in the 110cc needed refresh. Pleasure has led that charge. Subsequently, as we go into the BS6 zone, you'll say, realize that all of our brands are going to see a massive change and hopefully that will bring in a lot of newness to the entire range and will help us come back in numbers. Surely there has been some setbacks in the recent past, but our intention is to come back very strongly in scooters and and move to a position which we ideally think we should own up, which is a very strong contender in the category.
Sure. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Raghunandan from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congrats on the festive season sales. Sir, I had two queries. First query was on RM cost. Gross margin has improved by almost 2%. What factors have led to this improvement? Also, if I look at H1, the change in inventory, which is part of RM cost, was almost 3.3 billion, but the balance sheet shows a change of 1.5 billion. What is the difference there? My second query was on tax rate. What is the expectation for the full year and H2 tax rate, sir? And lastly, if you can also share the spare revenues. Thank you.
Right. Many questions, Raghu, but let me try and answer that. So one, as you yourself answered, the change in gross margin is led by material costs. There are three parts to that, and I won't be able to quantify individual parts. But one is continued savings that we get from our sourcing and LEAP program. The second is the general softness in the commodity, which is helping the auto sector. And third, of course, is the inventorization, which some of you have already picked up, which unwinds in the next quarter. As far as spares revenue is concerned, for this quarter, we have 723 crores of parts revenue, which is a growth of around 1.5% on year-on-year basis. And as far as tax rate is concerned, the tax rate overall, if you look at it, has the impact because you spread over, because quarter one was a higher or the full tax rate absorption, and the benefit which came in Q2 also absorbs that. And the way we've accounted is the overall full year tax minus the Q1, the benefit is spread over the three quarters. It's also got the benefit of the deferred tax liabilities, which get restated at the revised tax rate. So underlying, if you see from next year onwards, you should be seeing a 25 to 26% kind of tax rate, which is what comes if you look at the base rate, surcharge and the cess. Hope that answers your question.
Thank you, sir. That was very helpful. And one more thing what I had asked was the change in inventory in first half was 3.3 billion, but balance sheet inventory change was 1.5 billion. I mean, just was trying to reconcile those numbers.
So maybe, Raghu, what you can do is you can take it offline with Umang, who will be able to answer this. But what the balance sheet reflects is the exact inventory that we have as on September 30th and valued at the appropriate basis.
Thank you, sir. I'll do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Kale from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. My first question is regarding the festive season and, of course, the inventory. I just wanted to get a sense that this year talking of growth on a YOY festive to festive, and what would be your dealer inventory currently, and what is the ideal level of inventory that you look at post-festive in a normal case scenario? If you could just throw some light on that.
Yeah, so Jay, thank you very much. Let me just answer the question only. What is the normal inventory levels that we are very comfortable with? As much as the dealers are. So I think ideally the stock level that we are comfortable with is about 45 days. We maintain that about 4 to 6 weeks of inventory is something that is required given the kind of SKUs, the kind of network that we have, the penetration that we have. We need to keep the network fed, well fed, and therefore that kind of works out at about 45 days. Now, while saying that, it's important that we have a very good line of sight in terms of retails, which means essentially in a good, solid, healthy market situation, 45 days is the right level of inventory. However, when the market sentiment is poor, even a 45-day inventory starts hurting. Now, to answer your question of what is our plan to close the festival season with, our intent is to, and we're targeting, to get this down to 30 days. Now, there's a reason why we're trying to get it down to 30 days, and we may be close to that, we may be thereabouts, but, you know, that's the intent. And the reason is very simple. We are getting into, this is not a normal year, this is a year which will obviously lead to a lot of change. It's a transition year of BS6. Therefore, it will really put a lot of impetus on how we are able to manage our inventories and how we are able to manage the transition best. And to that extent, we will need to be extremely careful and guarded about in terms of the kind of exposures we keep in the market. So while intention is to bring it down to 30 days, I would still retain that the ideal level would be 45 days. So we really have a headroom opportunity there. But the reason we are not counting that in and we are sort of discounting that is only to bring in the seriousness about our intent to transition as smoothly as possible. So that's the whole idea. So ideal level, 45 days in a normal healthy market situation. In a rather not so healthy market situation, even the 45 days start hurting. In the answer to your question on closure of festival, the target for us is about 30 days inventory dealer level.
Great, and this is I'm assuming this is including the sub dealer level, and this is 30 days you're assuming the last 6 to 8 months average month sales based on that, the 30 day calculation.
No, our inventory levels are never including the sub dealer level. Historically and on all the numbers that we have said, it is our direct dealers and that's how we monitor. Like for like, as long as all the other inventory levels are remaining the same, it doesn't matter.
Sure. And just on the last on the scooter side, I mean, we dwelt upon that, but just to understand what are the macro factors or what should change in the economy for you to believe that scooterization will come back again, say in FY21, you alluded on the rural factors, which are more, say, motorcycle linked. Anything that you're looking at from the economy perspective that where scooters could come back? Or you think that once rural comes back, you will see scooters in the rural markets also coming back, which have been hurting currently? Or have they been? Have rural scooters been grossly underperforming urban scooters currently?
Well, I'll just leave you with one insight, and I think I will leave it out for the jury to decide. Because right now there are multiple levels of assessments and guessings that are kind of going on. But there's one data point which I'd like to happily share with you is that if you look at the trend on scooterization and this sort of reversal or let's say at least a blunting of that scooterization, you would possibly be able to plot it against a very healthy graph on the fuel price increase. Now, if I was to take that data point as a fairly reasonable reference, unless the crude drops down to $50 to a barrel, I don't see any recovery beyond the point that it has already gone to. So I guess when you do the plotting and you do the graph, you realize that clearly for consumers, fuel efficiency and mileage is a very critical one. And therefore, their belief that motorcycles deliver better mileage is not an unfounded one. That's also a reality. On an average, a motorcycle delivers 20% more fuel economy than a scooter. So if, so long as fuel becomes, is very critical in terms of the reason to buy for a consumer, I think it will continue to be something that will haunt scooters. Unless scooters do something dramatic, which is bring the fuel efficiency levels as close to motorcycles, the possibility of you know, reversing this, reversing the opposite trend of scooterization is not going to change dramatically. So I guess, you know, while there are efforts with the BS6, people are talking about improved mileage, but those mileage numbers are still going to be way off from what motorcycles will deliver for similar technologies. So my guess, therefore, it's this is the level, and for scooters to come back, they will have to outperform motorcycles in terms of what they are delivering on mileage, etc., as one critical aspect, and there are several other areas which customers seek, but I'm just leaving you with this insight and you can do the math from that. So therefore, we do believe that motorcycles will have a continued good run.
Great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question pertains to your net realization. What kind of price increase you have taken in this quarter?
We took price increase in July itself. We haven't taken from 1st October. But in July, what we took was around at a net realization basis, close to around 200 rupees per vehicle.
Okay. Okay. And what kind of commodity savings we would have benefited in this quarter? I mean, most of your peers have been indicating about 20-40 basis points. Is it similar for us, or it would be?
It would be of a similar range. I mean, that plus the LEAP program, which is the added benefit that we get.
Okay, and do we expect further commodity savings just because of the prices?
Honestly, it depends on where the commodities go from here. It is extremely difficult to forecast commodities. But if you look at the global economy growth projections of the IMF and the general forecast, then there's no reason to believe that the commodities should do an about turn. They are more likely to remain softish, but how soft and how far, very difficult to take a call.
Sure, sure. And lastly, in terms of our variable marketing spend, any sense on how they would have trended in 2Q versus 2Q last year or versus first quarter?
What we are spending is a very similar level as we continue to spend, so there is no big movement as far as our overall marketing and sales spends are concerned.
Okay, because we hear about substantial increase in discounts at ground on two-wheeler side, so that's probably in line with what we would have budgeted for, is it?
Yeah, I mean, not as far as Q2 and H1 is concerned. You might see some elevated levels in quarter three, which is the festive season. But again, they are not million miles off from what we have been doing. We haven't been doing mother of all discounts. So we have been doing innovative schemes, a 360-degree, which is on financing, dealer, credit, and of course, some consumer-customer benefits as well, because in festive in India, that's how the expectations are. But it's more sensible and reasonable levels that we are doing.
So, Jinesh, just to add to what Niranjan was just saying, you know, if you look at what we've been doing this festival, A, I don't think it's way out of the league from what we've traditionally been doing in terms of the spend. But I'm not going to talk about the spends. I'm going to talk about more about what exactly we're trying to do. We're basically trying to look at all the potential levers of demand. Our focus is not on discounting or, you know, kind of giving massive sops to consumers. We're trying to make it a little more easier and more affordable to buy by, you know, giving very, very interesting finance offers at very little documentation, hassle-free financing, helping them to exchange for those people who are either replacing their existing two-wheelers, etc. So I think the enablement mechanism is working much harder for us, and therefore it's delivering results. Like I said, at an overall level, we are already in positive trajectory, which probably will get consolidated as we go towards the business end of the festival season, which is now the Dhanteras, Diwali, and so on. And therefore, we will come back with some decent numbers again. The key, therefore, has been that most of the drivers and enablers of demand have been pretty dogged and have been a little dormant over the last 6 months. So we realized early on that if we have to really turn this around, and we were hoping that there will be some intervention from a demand side from the government. But unfortunately, since that didn't happen, we thought of trying to trigger things on our own. I think one of the conscious decisions, and it was a very tempting one, given the overall pressure on profitability, and yet we took a prudent call of not changing our prices, given that the consumers were already under stress during the last 6 months, and you know, and this particular quarter would have been even worse. So we thought of investing in those enabling systems and mechanisms that will trigger the next level of demand. And we are seeing some impact coming in from that.
Right, right. So any reason why our other expenses would have gone up on QQ basis? Is it just impact of higher inventory, primarily higher production, or there's more to that?
No, it's just the ratios are just impacted by the overall top line. Otherwise, if you look at on absolute basis, H1 to H1, if you look at it, the other expenses on absolute basis are actually down by 8%. And Q2 versus Q2, if you look at it, they are actually down by 10.5%.
So I was looking on 2Q versus 1Q, and there was an increase. So maybe it's primarily...
I don't think that's the right way of looking at it. I think it's either you should look at Q2 versus Q2, or you should look at H1 versus H1. So otherwise, there are always these phasing involved based on the timing of launch programs, etc., etc. So one should not look at sequential, but it's better to look at year on year. You can look at 6 month basis. Even that actually shows a 10%, 8% decline.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Sundar Sriram from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. Just on this realization bit, of course you did mention even in the last call that you had taken a 1% price hike in July. But if you see on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the realization improvement has been much better. Has there been any support from other operating income in Q2 as compared to the Q1?
Not really. I mean, if you look at our other operating income, the other operating income for quarter two is 193 crores, and last year was 203 crores, the same quarter. And Q1, of course, was 156 crores. So maybe if you're looking at sequentially, then yes, that explains. But year-on-year basis, our other operating revenues have by and large remained similar levels.
Okay, sir. Okay, that's helpful, sir. And broadly, you did talk about the promotion and ad spending. How would this compare with last year? Are we seeing a slightly higher level of promotion ad spending as compared to last year festive season?
I think we just answered. It is at a slightly elevated levels, as we said. But it's not something to be concerned about, and like Sanjay, my colleague, explained, we are focusing on all the levers of growth and not just the discounting alone in the festive.
Right, sir. Sir, on the financing penetration, you did mention that you're using even financing as a lever to enable buying. Last quarter, we did talk about a 37% kind of a financing for us. How has it trended in Q2, and how are you seeing that in Q3?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. The focus on the financing has increased the financing levels to 46% in quarter two.
Okay, 46% in quarter two. And for the industry also, we would have seen a similar improvement, sir?
Difficult for us to say as far as industry is concerned. Maybe some other players are focusing on discounts, but we are focusing on financing as well, and that has moved it to 46%.
Okay. Sir, if I may squeeze one last question, sir. With BS6, will we be launching completely new platforms and wholly refreshed portfolio of products, or will that in turn sort of in some sense negate the cost impact that will come through?
You will get to hear from us very soon.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Kumar from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. My first question is just a clarification on the answer you gave to Shyam just prior to this, my question. How does this 46% financing penetration compare to last year's same quarter, sir?
44%. Last year, same quarter.
44%. Because in the fourth quarter call, we mentioned a number of 37% in financing, so I was just a bit confused with the numbers. So
37% is quarter one. 37% was quarter one.
Okay.
So that's the right number. Maybe you've got the quarters wrong. And this quarter is 46%. And same quarter last year was 44%.
Okay. So it's a seasonal spike which you're seeing in 2Q, which happens every year.
Not only seasonal spike, but also year-on-year improvement as a focus on financing.
Sounds good, sir. And, sir, just wanted to clarify on the dealer receivable bit. How does the accounting for that work? Because we do see that our trade receivables have jumped another 500-600 crores over the balance sheet close of FY19. So just wanted to understand, I believe you do charge an interest component on the dealers for the outstanding payments. Where does that line item reside, sir, in the P&L? And how much will be that number?
So I won't quantify that number, but we do charge interest on overdues, and that gets part into the other income.
Other income that is below the EBITDA line, right?
Yes. Other income below EBITDA line in the published result, it comes in the income line as the item, which is other income.
Other income. So it's not part of the operational number. That's a conservative.
Yeah, it's not part of our declared EBITDA numbers.
No, because some of your peers do account it in the operational numbers. That's why.
We follow the absolute pristine accounting, which is that only operation thing we put in operations, and the interest and financial items we put in other income.
Great. And final question on BS6 transition, sir. And I believe we didn't get the inventory number actually where it stands today. You talked about a 45-day target, but if you can help us understand where it is today. And given the BS6 transition plan as to by when do you see you kind of crossing a milestone of 50% production for BS6? Because some of your peers are looking at as early as January to be close to 70 to 100% range in terms of the monthly production for BS6. Where would you put Hero, say, in the month of, say, January or somewhere in terms of your BS6 preparedness at the production level?
So inventory, as far as, let me answer your first question, which is the inventory. Current inventory, what we hold is actually wholly irrelevant. What we have is with our festive plan, and we have given out also what we are seeing the growth and expecting the growth. And with that, we should end up at 30 days. That's what we are targeting October end, which will be fantastic at that level or thereabout that level that we should end up with. The second thing, as our BS6 is concerned, we said that post-festive, which we have been saying as well, and you would see the launches coming one by one. We have a sequence plan, which is calibrated both from ramp-up perspective as well as launch perspective, and you will see us migrating over the period starting post-festive until March.
Thank you, Mr. Kumar. Requested to join the question queue for any follow-up, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Move for the next question. That is from the line of Ronak Sada from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is just a clarification on BS6 transition. So how do we see once we start model production in BS6, would there still be scope of a BS4 vehicle production if there is demand? Because you highlighted, you are building in some estimates, expectations of a pre-buy, or that would be just based on inventory which goes in Q3 and there will be no production overlap?
So we can do, because we have multiple lines and multiple manufacturing sites. So accordingly, we have various scenarios on which we are navigating to ensure that A, we do the transition very smoothly between BS4 and BS6. And second, if there's any pre-buying opportunity that comes our way, we are in a position to capitalize as well. So it's a very fine line navigating, and we have scenarios and our teams are there. There are teams that actually meet on a weekly basis. There's steering committee which meets on a fortnightly basis. So there's a fair bit of work going on into that. I think our spread of manufacturing sites and multiple lines and scale, it gives us an added flexibility over other players to do this.
I'm assuming that would be pretty challenging. Then the second question would be, I mean, can you help us with how's the capacity utilization across different plants, and how's the Halol ramp up, Halol ramp up shaping?
I think
the volumes have fallen so much in this year.
Yeah, I think the capacity utilization across plants, you can take it offline from Umang. You have seen our volume numbers and you know our capacities. So utilization is a function of that only. As far as Halol ramp up is concerned, it's progressing well. It's except that based on the volume, we allocate depending on if it is a sales for Gujarat only, because Halol has benefit. So all of that goes to Gujarat, all of Rajasthan sales go to Neemrana, and the rest gets allocated based on where optimization makes sense.
Okay. And the last question is for Mr. Bhan. If you can highlight, you know, how is the customer response for Maestro FI variant? Points out that the FI variant is, you know, smooth as a carburetor-based engine. Any feedback from customer side?
Yeah, so the initial feedback, frankly, Ronak, has been very positive. You know, in terms of how the customer is, I think your question is how the customer is finding the technology, the FI on a scooter. So the answer to that is, as you know, Maestro FI was the first scooter with an FI to be launched. So to that extent, it was novelty value, clearly, and customers did feel the difference in the ride quality, etc., which gives us further confidence for our BS6, because, you know, this is the setup to the BS6. Of course, BS6 has got a few more things, but essentially a FI, and which gives us that much extra confidence, because the pure play ride quality and the experience was pretty decent. And, you know, the whole point is that this is clearly a very stable, good product, and hopefully, you know, it will continue in the same spirit. As we get into BS6, that much more better story for us.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vasudev Banerjee from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats, sir, for a good set of numbers. Just wanted to understand that if I see your year-to-date wholesales are down somewhere around 17%, and assuming things are going to be steady year-on-year in October, but as you are saying that you are confident of pre-buying during Q4 on a 30-day inventory, then what's your outlook for fiscal 21, as it will be pre-buying of the potential demand for fiscal 21? So 1 year we are seeing almost more than double-digit decline. So what's your outlook on 21?
So at this point of time, we won't be giving out an outlook on FY21. We have outlined various factors, both short-term and medium-term factors, and let's see how they play out, and we will have to take on from there.
Sure. And second thing, like what Pramod was asking in the call earlier, what was your inventory level beginning of the festive season? If you can highlight, that will be great.
Honestly, Vasudev, that's wholly irrelevant. What is relevant is that in festive, you need to build up for sale. Because in the 30-day industry, us or anyone else, end up selling almost 2.5 to 3 times the normal selling run rates. And therefore, the build-up we do based on that planning. All we are saying is that right now, the sales are as per plan. And we hope to close at 30 days, which could be a little optimistic, but it will still be around those levels is what we hope. I think that's important. So wait out for a few more days.
That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Goel from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir, for taking a question. Just wanted to understand this inventory when you're talking about, does this include the sub-dealer inventory also, or this is only the main dealer inventory?
No, we have clarified, Hitesh, that it does not include sub-dealer inventory. In the past also, it never included that. So these numbers are all like for like basis based on what we have been giving out in the past as well.
And just to cheer you up, ye inventory sabhi dealer ki inventory hai. Sab dealer ki inventory hai. Sab dealers ki nahi hai.
Okay. And sir, just wanted to get a sense, this BS6 cost increase, has the company taken a call to fully pass it on or retain some of the cost increase? What is the strategy behind that?
So this is confidential information, and therefore you will see in the models that come out in the market very soon.
What would you advise?
Okay. Sir, I think given the demand scenario, you should not pass it on fully.
We'll take it on record, so we'll keep it there. But yes, it's a strategic decision and a call. A pricing is not a tactical thing. It would need to have a bearing on the overall play out that is there. And like Niranjan mentioned, it's a very sensitive information. Obviously, we will need to watch the market very closely and accordingly plan our strategy.
Great, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Gunjan Prithyani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for taking my questions. Just a follow-up on this inventory. You mentioned that by the end of the festive, you expect that this should come down to 30 days odd. Is it fair to assume that, of course, retails are faring maybe slightly positive, but you would be taking billing corrections in this quarter, so to that extent, the wholesales could continue to stay negative?
Yeah, to some extent, yes, you are absolutely right. The focus is on the retails and the focus is on market inventory. I think our job is to push retails and do the sales, applying all the levers that Sanjay has talked about, and thereby get an inventory level from where the BS4, BS6 transition can happen. Thereafter, of course, the more retails we push, the more dispatches or the wholesale also we can push.
So this 30-day that you mentioned versus the typical 45-day healthy levels that you indicated earlier, my guess is you were saying 30 days right now is because you are going through a BS6 transition. So you may not aggressively introduce BS6 inventory and you would want to keep BS4 lower in the market. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah, because we have sufficient production capacity to actually take care of the upside or the pre-buying. So we want to calibrate, and like Sanjay mentioned, in a times like this, it gives the dealer added headroom and headspace and liquidity space. And from there on, then our BS4, BS6 transition becomes smoother.
And intuitively speaking, Gunjan, would you rather have a lower stock of BS4 to get your transition to BS6 smoother, or would you want to have high levels of stock of BS4 and still manage to get your BS6 in a very easy manner? So I think the answer lies there. I think it's important that we understand the context in which we're trying to attempt to get to that 30-day inventory. It's to ease the system, de-stress the system, and make sure that, you know, our transition to BS6 is all set. And then we'll take calls depending upon how the demand for BS4 versus BS6. Like you said earlier, we are all ready with virtually every single model is absolutely ready for us to trigger the launch. The timing of those launches, the transition is part of an overall strategy. Unfortunately, at this stage in time, we don't want to really disclose that. That will be visible to you closer to the time of the launch of various models.
So post-festive is when the whole corrective action will be taken and you will make sure that it comes down to 30 odd days.
No, during the festival, we need to do the stock correction. That's what we are trying to do. And post-festival, what will be visible to you is the platform that we have set for BS6 transition.
Okay, got it. And the second question I had was, are you seeing any divergent trends between the urban and the rural? As far as the, you know, last few weeks of pickup goes, has it been any way different for these segments?
Yeah, to be very honest with you, I think the first 10 days, we saw a massive hit in terms of overall scooters not doing too well, and scooters is a bit of an urban phenomenon. While as motorcycles, while it was not so strong initially, but it started picking up, closer to the Dussehra and thereabouts. And this trend continues. Even as we speak today, the trend is that, scooters overall at an overall level seem to be a little muted in terms of growth, but motorcycles are doing much better. And if you were to link back to the overall geo-plotting of both these categories, then you would figure out that scooters are, by and large, more of an urban-centric phenomena. Therefore, urban markets aren't doing that well because a lot of these initiatives that the government has taken is taking time to kind of play out. And for demand side, not much is happening. And the for the first time buyers, motorcycle seems to be a bigger option for rural markets, and therefore rural markets have started doing a lot better. So, you know, you could say that, you know, in the first 20 days of this festival, urban is a little bit muted, whereas rural has shown slightly better pulse.
Okay, and just last question on financing. Now, this sharp increase versus last quarter, is this a structural trend, you think, or is it more of festive, you know, scenario where, you know, you tend to have far higher festive schemes during this time? So, is it structurally moving up meaningfully on financing, or it's just, you know, outcome of this quarter?
No, I think, Gunjan, there are two things. If your question is, was it done on purpose or it happened accidentally, then let me clarify. I've said this earlier. This was a deliberate attempt. We realized that one of the drivers of demand is the first-time buyer. We've talked about it earlier also, and I'd like to repeat that. The first-time buyer is the one who triggers the demand cycle and growth in the market. If the first-time buyers in any category stop coming to the market, your market is unlikely to grow. The, you know, the overall impetus of the market is defined by the first-time buying. Now, one of the critical things for the first-time buyer is availability, ease, and convenience of finance. At the same time, the cost of finance. So we've tried to apply as much judgment on that and try to put the entire impetus and focus on driving both the availability, the cost, and the penetration of finance in a very different way. So the number that Niranjan has already shared with you has an organic improvement which normally happens during festive period, but there is also a very deliberate inorganic push to drive financing, particularly for those segments that are going to be you know, coming to the category first time, hence providing us the growth impetus.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Joseph George from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question was in relation to Niranjan's opening remarks. If I heard you right, you mentioned that the festive season has started seeing some growth, especially after the first 10 days of the festive season. And you also mentioned that sustained recovery may take time. So I'm not able to read the two comments together. So can you elaborate, you know, as to how exactly are you thinking about it?
Yeah, the sustained recovery actually indicates that would therefore, based on this festive, can we say that now auto sector will be back on the growth path from November onwards itself? I think it will be too premature to take a call on that. So that's why I said that sustained recovery may take a bit of time in terms of coming back to the growth levels that the auto sector or the two-wheeler was seeing. The good thing is that, A, the festive is good, yeah, relative to what was happening until six months before, which was 12% decline. On that scenario, if you see that festive over festive is actually whatever marginal positive growth is a very heartening sign and positive sign. Second thing is that, yes, there are a couple of tailwinds which we can see in the near term. But does it mean that now all is well and sector is back to its fullness of growth? The answer is no. So the sustained recovery may take time. That was the intent of making that statement. Equally, that we do remain confident about medium to long-term opportunity on the auto sector.
Niranjan, do you think there is some bunching up of demand that has happened in the festive season? You know, some of the sales that got postponed in the last 3 or 4 months, you know, materialized or got converted into sales in this festive. And similarly, you know, because of the discounts or some of the schemes, some of the demand that would have come in, say, in November, December, got preponed into festive. And is that something that you're thinking about? You know, a lot of bunching up of sales in the festive. Of course, it happens every year, but do you think it's happened a little more this year, and which is the reason why you're not too confident on November, December, etc.?
So, Joseph, let me take a dab at it. I think it's a very relevant question to ask. This is not unique. This happens every year. People do tend to kind of bunch up their requirements towards the festival season. We as Indians love to do the binge shopping part during the festivals, and I think that's normal. But this year was a little bit peculiar in nature. So we saw a lot of uncertainty in terms of these cyclical trends and the fact that there was a lot of uncertainty around what's going to happen in terms of the regulation, in terms of the government intervention. There was expectation that the GST may be you know, going down, etc., etc. So a whole lot of people did postpone. In our July call, I think we mentioned at that time, one of the typical trends we were seeing in the industry at that point in time was the quality of inquiries was becoming poor, which is what I meant with A, the number of inquiries were going down, which is understood in a depressed market environment, but worse still was the fact that the conversions of those inquiries was not happening. A lot of that was being deferred. And we are seeing that the initial days of not the initial days, we're almost 24 days into the festival now. So the 24 days of the festival thus far, a lot of that has also converted into sales. And therefore, the question on bunching up is absolutely relevant. But most of that bunching up is already fructified. Some of that may still happen in the next few days because we are now, as I said, in the business side of particularly for Northeast and Central India. And this is the festival, the big one. So hopefully that will also show up. And that's why we are very confident that the numbers will be even better than the numbers that are there currently for us.
Thank you.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will be the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Priya Ranjan for closing comments. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you. Thanks for participating in the call and thanks for the Hero management to show us the opportunity to host. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, Priya Ranjan. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night. Happy Diwali.
Have a good festive. Happy Diwali, everyone.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes today's conference. Thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.